This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, even Chodesh Tov, even though we're past Rosh Chodesh. What a weekend that was, and in particular Saturday night, of course, most of Israel up watching the Eurovision. There's so many things to talk about. First of all, Noam Bitan's performance at the Eurovision was really amazing. And at the end, right at the end, just as he was about to go off stage, Am Yisrael Chai. And that was really like a surprise for me, because when you consider the fact that Noam has been doing his rehearsals with people planted in the audience to boo him, in order to get him ready for the crowd reaction, and in order to get him ready for what was expected in the live performances. There were actually people who were purposefully there trying to put him off his stride, to boo him and to try to distract him in order to make him ready for what was going to happen in the live performance. That was the extent to which the Israeli delegation had to go in order to prepare Noam for the live performance. But he gave a really, really great performance, and it was fascinating to watch how the votes unfolded. In the end, Bulgaria took first place, and I think quite justifiably so. They got most of the public vote, the very, very, by far the highest number of votes from the public vote. But Israel, surprisingly for some, managed to come in second with a public vote. The public vote is a very, very significant part of the overall score, and that's what propelled Israel into second place overall at the end when the votes were all counted, even though the juries had given Israel seventh place on the list out of 25 songs. But ultimately, the public vote propelled Israel into second place. And it's interesting just to try and interpret what all of that really means, because we've been so accustomed to feeling this negative public atmosphere towards Israel and reaction towards Israel in the social media and in all the press. And yet, when it comes to the Eurovision, the public are voting in vast numbers in favor of Israel and the Israeli song. So do we interpret that to mean that there are so many quiet supporters of Israel out there, and that the small minority are just drowning out what the majority really thinks? Do we really think that that's the case? Is it true that the aggressive nature of the Israel haters has been so effective that it's frightened other people off the playing field, that other people who wish to potentially voice their opinion, or Jews who wish to come out and make positive statements, are frightened away from doing so because of the hate and because of the aggression? Is that true? I really don't know how to interpret any of that, but nonetheless, in the Eurovision, they often say that first is the worst and second is the best. And that's because the first place needs next year to host the Eurovision. And in Bulgaria's case, there is some doubt as to whether Bulgaria will actually be able to host the Eurovision next year. There were immediately some comments that came out saying Bulgaria is unable or unwilling to host next year's Eurovision. And of course, then the silent question comes up, well, does that mean it falls to second place to host the Eurovision next year? I suspect that Israel will not host the Eurovision next year under any circumstances, and that the European Broadcasting Corporation, who is responsible, European Broadcasting Union, who's responsible for the Eurovision, will allocate it somewhere else if Bulgaria are unable to take this responsibility on. But at least You know, even though I think the Eurovision is really like a really unimportant factor, an important event on the overall scale of things that are happening at the moment, it definitely gave the Israeli public a little moment to feel good about, you know, a great performance and really showing Israel up in its best possible way, and how brave and how out there Noam Beton was when he made his performance, and how he really just gave us a lot of pride.
Absolutely, just incredible, and an immense amount of pride. Let's talk about what is happening with this war. We know that President Trump's been renewing his threats against Iran again after consulting with his security advisors and after a phone call with the Prime Minister, Prime Minister Netanyahu. Now what? What is expected next?
Well, the greatest thing that I've seen come out of this is this American flag, which is sort of transposed on top of a map of Iran, with lots and lots of red arrows kind of pointing towards Iran. And that was what President Trump advertised on his Truth Social social media account. And he also claims that the clock is ticking for Iran. Those are the comments that he made. Now, we know that President Trump has been known to make some quite far-reaching statements, and there is, you know, obviously a debate out there as to whether he has managed to achieve all of the things, or at least some of the things that he has threatened, and the, you know, the extent to which he really doesn't hold back, does he? He doesn't like he's not one of those guys who would go out and set low expectations in order to try and overachieve. He is exactly the opposite. He puts things out, the expectations are really, really high. And there is a certain strategy that you can tell that he's trying to adopt, which is potentially to try and frighten people off before the events take place. And then it doesn't really matter what transpires, as long as people felt really nervous about whatever the US was going to do. Following his statements. But I think just getting back to the reality of the possibility of another round of conflict with Iran, that reality continues to exist. And the reason that I think that that reality continues to exist is because the three main objectives, which I think still remain three main objectives, are not yet fully achieved. Or in some places, not in some cases, not achieved at all. And the three main objectives are the nuclear program, and we mean not only destroying Iran's capability of producing a nuclear weapon, but perhaps more importantly than that, getting our hands on that enriched uranium, because all the time that that enriched uranium is in Iran's possession, it means that even if they don't have centrifuges, and even if they don't have a program in place, any industrial capability, they still have that enriched uranium. And that really is the crux of the potential of a nuclear weapon. And all the time that that's in Iran's hands, that nuclear weapon could be produced at any moment. So I think the enriched uranium is really important. The nuclear industry also is important, even though I think quite a lot of that has already been destroyed. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to get rid of Iran's ballistic missiles and the ability to fire those ballistic missiles not only towards Israel, but towards the United Arab Emirates and towards Saudi Arabia, and potentially ultimately towards Europe, because that continues to be a risk. And I think that while quite a lot of the Iranian ballistic missiles have indeed been destroyed, and the rocket launches that are needed to destroy them also have been taken out, I think that they still do have a capability, even if it is 20%, as has been touted around in the press recently. That is still quite significant, and that still presents a major threat, at least to Israel and indeed to other countries in the region. And the third thing, which I think is critical here, is regime change, because I don't know that anybody will feel that there has been victory in this war while the regime continues to operate in this format, even if the names have changed, even if the key positions are being occupied by different people. The fact is that the regime, as I see it, still remains intact. And I think that that is not a replacement for the previous two objectives. I think it's in addition to the previous two objectives, although I've said once or twice before that I think that while you have this regime and or you have the ability to fire ballistic missiles and or you have the ability to produce nuclear weapons, those combinations don't look well. So, you know, theoretically, one could take one or two of those out and still potentially feel like the war has been justified. But I think that all three need to be achieved to a great degree in order for this war really to have played out in a way that justifies everything that's happened. And I just wonder whether there is a real plan in order to achieve those three things. I know that the discussions have been ongoing. I know that President Trump is very focused on the oil price and on what's going on in the Straits of Hormuz. There's some discussion about an ecological disaster that's happened around Kog Island because of oil spill there. It's not clear exactly what has produced that oil spill. We also saw yesterday that the United Arab Emirates claimed that a number of drones were fired towards its territory, and one managed to penetrate and even hit the power plant that that powers the United Arab Emirates nuclear facility. So that's a pretty close hit. I mean, not that the nuclear facility was necessarily under any significant threat, but the fact that the drone managed to penetrate into the power supply that is fueling the nuclear program is, of course, a very significant statement that the Iranians have made. And so this conflict is far from over, and I suspect that we are going to see another round, a significant round of conflict with Iran in the coming, I wouldn't say days or weeks, but maybe months. And as you mentioned, the Prime Minister did speak to President Trump. He's back from China.
So you think this is a months thing, not a weeks thing or days thing?
I don't think it's a day's thing. I think it may well be weeks, but into potentially even months.
Really?
And it sort of feels now, it feels to me now a little like what happened in the period that led up to the initial attack that took place at the end of February. I just have that same feeling again. The rhetoric is ramping up. There seems to be significant movement of aeroplanes, US aeroplanes around Europe and the Middle East. When you look at the tracking devices and there's some maps that you can look at, which shows the movement of military aircraft in this particular region. It's starting to mirror what we saw in the months leading up to the end of February, the 28th of February attack that took place. It's looking sort of like the January, early February stage. So I think this could potentially be something that will go on for some weeks or months. But I'm just speculating. I have no idea. I do think, however, that the conflict is not going to be over. And I don't know that any discussions or any peace talks or any meetings in Pakistan or anywhere else is really going to change the reality of things.
I do tend to agree with that part of it. Certainly, there's been a noticeable increase in military activity in Gaza in recent days. The IDF, we know, eliminated the Hamas military chief in Gaza in a significant operation. How's this being interpreted?
Well, the thing is that, you know, things in Gaza kind of went into something of an abeyance. Let's not forget that the IDF is still very, very well represented in Gaza in a holding sort of pattern. We have the yellow line, which in recent days there have been accusations that the IDF has been pushing the yellow line further west, in other words, claiming more and more of Gaza to be under the IDF control and less of Gaza to be under the control of Hamas and the other terror organizations that are operating in Gaza. And lots of social media complaining about the fact that this yellow line is being pushed forward. But let's not forget that when we push the yellow line forward, it gives us the ability to clean up that area that's within the yellow zone. So to the extent that the IDF feels that moving that yellow line a little further west will allow it more safely to clean out tunnels, to clean out any military installations, to clean out weapons storage facilities, whatever it is, that clearly has got to be an advantage to Israel. But all of this has been happening under something of a silent cloud. In other words, this committee was is currently supposedly controlling what's happening in Gaza, although I don't understand really what influence or what control this international committee really has. They set up a base in Beersheba, but we have no idea what they're really doing there and to what extent they're influencing events in Gaza. What we do know is that when the IDF needs to take care of business, they are not afraid to do so. And that's what we saw late last week, when the Hamas military leader in Gaza, Izzeddin al-Haddad, was killed in a very, very clinical strike, a clinical hit. He and his family were all taken out in that apartment. And then there was a certain fear that he might have been able to escape. And there was a vehicle that was traveling away at quite some speed from the apartment. Well, that vehicle got eliminated as well, just in case he managed to get into the vehicle. So there's no doubt that he was killed. And in fact, Hamas have come out acknowledging that he has been killed. In the meantime, Hamas have managed to hold elections in Gaza in order to elect a new leader. We understand that those elections came out to be inconclusive and that another round of elections needs to take place. And so all of this is happening in a relatively organized and free environment, while they at the same time make statements that they are not going to cooperate with the disarmament that has been demanded of them by the United States and which this international committee is supposed to oversee. So right now what we're seeing is that the IDF is really carrying out a number of different clinical hits, and this guy, Izzeddin al-Haddad, who was killed last week, was one of the last main leaders who were involved with October the 7th. That was one of the things that the IDF really was wanting to take care of, to ensure that all of those who were considered to be leaders and instigators of October the 7th have all been properly taken care of, and none of them are around to be able to tell their stories, because this is a really important message to send, not only to Hamas, but to other terror organizations, is that if you're going to take, you're going to undertake activities like that against us, then we will not rest until we ultimately take care of you in response. So I think that that's the message. Exactly where things are going in Gaza right now is all relatively unclear to me, because, as I say, the International Committee doesn't really seem to be operating very well. Another flotilla on the way from Turkey. They just don't stop. And so that is really the current situation in Gaza. Lots of uncertainty, but at least no rockets being fired from Gaza right now. And the IDF seem to be under good control, at least of the border areas, but certainly rearmament going on within the territory.
Anthony Rach, thank you as always. This is where we leave it. We'll catch you tomorrow morning for the Israel Report at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.